Bom dia.
Ah, não quer que eu Oh, I see. I get the picture. Well, hello and welcome. Straight down to business. Put the first speaker on. Greetings and felicitations, Russ. How are you functioning apart from in a relaxed, tired state of consciousness?
Well, not bad. Just gonna try to provide something substantive in the help tonight session.
Okay, let us proceed and continue where we left off on moral development. Seems to be the topic of the moment, don't you think?
Last couple days, certainly.
Okay, let us first of all address last night's channeling session over the internet. Portia worked herself hard and worked the host body very hard. She did a good job. Needs to brush up on her spelling and understanding of the linguistics involved in the English language. She will be the first to admit that her English is not perfect. Okay, having got that out of the way, and her discussion on morals is a very good and intense subject to discuss. We have full confidence in the selected individuals that are channeling for this. We will have Tia and Kiri as our main speakers. Okay, down to business. Morals and the development thereof in conjunction with six-dimensional thinking. And the purpose and behavioral patterns connected with telepathy and the morals. Certain morals are used to protect individuals from embarrassing or dangerous situations. For example, as was demonstrated last week, probing somebody without their consent. It is not morally wrong, nor is it morally right. It is a call on the individual. But probing, nonetheless, has to be consensual to achieve the maximum benefit for both individuals concerned. If it is not consensual, whether it is subconscious, it has to be spoken verbally or telepathically so that the individual that is the probee can have full access to the information that is being probed by the prober. For example, delving into one's past experiences and looking at each one independently can be beneficial if both parties are consensual in this matter. This is one of the important necessary developments when using telepathy. Telepathy on a communication level is basic vocalization or sub-vocalization of what is going through the mind and being projected at a person. It is quicker and faster than the vocal communication. But probing, on the other hand, should be done with images so that both parties can analyze and look at the pictures, as long as the probee is consensual. But where does the morals come into this? Well, is it morally right to probe somebody's mind? Yes and no. If it is consensual, then it is morally right. If it is not consensual and done with speed and harm to the probee, then that is morally wrong. It is a call by the individuals. But the morals necessary to achieve this point where you become a being of a higher consciousness are developed by the individual on the lower level. What is right? As was raised last night, is it right to kill somebody? Yes and no. Why? Yes and no. Well, there are certain situations where it becomes dangerous for others and yourself, and it is necessary to terminate the existence of the aggressor. In itself, that has more ramifications. Are you ready to accept the responsibilities of the individuals that are connected with the person that has been terminated? So you tried to elaborate on this last night, and it needs to be elaborated on more. When a termination occurs, there is obviously the anger and retribution coming from the friends and associates of the terminated. They wish revenge. It doesn't matter if it is somebody that is of a very nasty and aggressive nature. There are still people that think that person is a good person, and they want revenge. They want revenge in either incarceration or termination of the terminator. This leaves open to serious problems that opens up a cycle which can occur. If it is necessary to terminate friends and associates of the terminated, then that in itself can open up even more karmic problems. This is where karma comes into play. When it is necessary to terminate something on a one-on-one, then you have to think of the karmic ramifications and the necessary interaction of the individuals involved in this matter. When a termination occurs en masse of a large majority of individuals, this in itself is something that needs to be looked at and addressed. For example, in a hostile situation, such as a riot or a war, where individuals are trying to take from some other individuals their existence and ipso facto try to terminate them, that itself comes outside the karmic loop. What transpires is that an individual having to defend themselves against a mass group of individuals may have to find it necessary to terminate a few of those individuals' existence before the group realizes that it in itself is in a dangerous situation. In the process, the terminator may become terminated himself. But again, how does this interact with the morals? First of all, you should not get yourself in the situation that you need to terminate a mass group of individuals' existence. But sometimes that happens. There is nothing that you, I, or anybody can do about it, except if you are a grand paramount coercer. And there are so few of those on the sixth dimension that even in their environment, it would be hard. Being able to use the morals necessary to stay out of that trouble and deciding that it would be better to cut one's losses in itself is a moral question. Do you give the individuals that are the group the joy of having what you have worked so hard for? That is a decision only you can answer. And it is built in with your morals. It is a moral decision whether or not you leave your food, property, etc. behind. And if so, would it be beneficial for those people to have that property? So, by addressing these very simple, basic morals. Now, a question last night was asked, are there certain morals that are absolute? Yes, there are. Love all things. That is an absolute. There was another one that was on there. It was three, actually. Love all things. Do not steal. Or rather, do not steal and get caught. It is necessary sometimes to steal for existence. And in doing so, you will put yourself in a situation where retribution may be demanded. So, if you have to steal, try not to get caught. As Kia put it, There are certain countries that tend to remove limbs for the punishment of stealing. Love thy neighbour as thyself. That was not on there, but it should have been put on there. You can kill through love if necessary. If your neighbour becomes a hostile, it is always the last resort to terminate their existence. In doing so, you must again be prepared to take the responsibilities that come with that. But it should read, love thy neighbour as much as possible. Thou shalt not kill unless there is no other way. That is an absolute. If it is your survival or a survival of individuals that you are affiliated with, then it becomes necessary to kill, to terminate. And in doing so, again, you must be prepared to take on the karmic retribution that is necessary. So all these things are linked through karma. They are linked morally. They are decisions that you have to weigh the odds. There are clauses. Morals are not absolute. There are absolute morals, but they are not totally. They can be changed and adjusted to situations. But the basic underlying is there. Do you have any questions for us?
I got a couple.
Okay.
First off, you mentioned about two people using pictures. Mm-hmm. Explain a little bit about that.
Yes. When you probe, there should be pictures generated that both parties can see. We will let our probeer, if it is consensual, demonstrate.
Now, is that normally used for a conversational mode? Is that strictly just a teaching thing? It sounds like it'd be pretty slow.
If it is done correctly, it is very fast because there are no words involved. The feelings and emotions are there. The experience is being relived. It is almost a regression. Hmm. Afterwards, then the questions are asked. And it's looked at. Next question, please.
Okay. As far as killing goes, it seems like either third-dimensional or sixth-dimensional, there should always be an option to get out of it. Wouldn't it just the killing part be, you know, just an easy way out sometimes?
I said that there are certain times where it is impossible to get away from that.
Well, the point I'm asking is, it might seem impossible, but only because you haven't delved through every situation in the moment beforehand. Is that only because being third dimensional, we aren't thinking on as fast a level as the sixth dimensional?
Sometimes you do not have time to think of another option.
Right.
Let us say you are in a room, you are in a corner. You have a sword in your hand. The person in front of you has a 9mm that you're so fond of. You can thrust and kill them and get it over and done with so that they will not have time to pull the trigger on you. If you wound them, they may still pull the trigger. They may still come after you. Can you take that risk? That is a situation which should never occur. But unfortunately, it does occur. Next question.
Okay. As far as the absolute morals go, in loving all things, you're also loving your neighbor as thyself.
Correct.
So that's probably why it was written, because it's all basically the same thing.
Correct.
Okay. But in loving all things, can't you be able to teach that so that others, you know, hopefully in the same situation, will learn?
It starts, the teaching starts at a very early age. Up here, I believe that it starts when the person is still in the fetal state. The communication. Laying out the basic principles that are to be developed later on. Next question and final question.
Okay. in that sort of teaching, what would you do to discourage somebody who is learning or is starting to become hate once in a while?
Hate once in a while is a good thing. I hate squalor. I hate people that push other people down. You can use that hate as a tool, not to destroy, but to build. By using hate to focus and to teach, sometimes by a harsh action, in itself is a useful tool. We will give an explanation at another time on hate.
Good, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I will be back. No rest for the wicked.
I don't know anything about that.
Yes. And if I'm wicked, this must make me damn right evil. Okay, next speaker. Greetings and felicitations, Mr. Hetfield. Let us get down and straight to business. No, I am not the probe heir. Let us address matters concerning shielding. Yes, you have been waiting for this. Shielding and consensual probing concerning last week's incident. From what I have heard, there was no consent from you, even on a subconscious. Maybe you let her in. Subconsciously, you said, I quote, no, you did not. Why did she access your shield so quickly? This was done by playing a soothing tune. Doing so made it easy for her to lower your shields. This cannot happen again. Due to the fact, if it happens once, it can happen again and again. The root command that you have to stabilize your shield must be known by you and you alone. No other person, not even your mind soul or twin soul. You do not know hers, so why should she know yours? It is not a selfish thing. It is a necessary. This dovetails with Amol's dissertations. It is morally wrong to put yourself in the debt or in an opportune position for somebody to dominate you, to control your mind and to probe you. That is an absolute moral. Never put yourself in the position where you are totally and utterly bound by debt to someone. That leaves open a karmic circle which must not be repeated. So that is an absolute moral. Questions?
Should I change that then? I think
obviously. Tell no one. Okay. It is a protection for you and for us. Next question.
So I should set it up in a layered one, probably the best.
Whatever is convenient for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Consider yourself towed off.
You know, here's the point that I'm
you
getting.
Didn't know.
No, this is the lesson for me. Mm-hmm. I trust explicitly everyone from the sixth dimension, especially those who are on the base.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never even think that one of them or any of you would use any knowledge you got in any way harmful against me, knowing how the sixth dimension works.
Yes, true. But I think what Ashton was trying to say is that things happen inadvertently. Let us take a scenario. You and Nazriel are messing around.
Right.
Right? You've got your shield up, he's got his shield up. You do something that pushes a little button on him, right, that irritates him. And he may want to slap you down. And you just say, enough is enough. And he tries that vocally, but you're too fired up. Now, if you've told his mother, he's going to figure out that it's going to be something simple because you've told his mother. Or, yeah, she may inadvertently let it slip. You're irritating. So he switches your shield off and slaps you down and says, enough is enough. And it causes anguish on your part. That's what I think Ashtar was trying to say, is avoiding anguish.
Mm-hmm. Some lesson.
Yeah, it's an important lesson. He didn't probe you.
No, but he's testing my shield.
Mm-hmm. Testing your shield, but he didn't probe you.
Yeah, I know.
He even told you.
I would have known I got probed. Mm-hmm. But it feels like I've got, like, every time he comes in, it's like I've got 10 tons of water just got dumped on my head and I've got to keep it off.
It's not over yet.
Mm-hmm. I
don't
mean funny.
Yes, but the special guests, ultra specials, are not over yet.
I am not in this tonight. Damn.
Ugh. I'm sorry.
All right, love. I got to learn how to do it when I'm in the worst shape possible.
Ashtar and the other guests showed up unexpectedly.
Yeah.
That's why I said, quack.
I knew there was problems when I was middle walking on instantly without you going to your skill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. I should have tried to warn you somehow. Okay.
Greetings, Russ. Let us address communication and the necessary of the linguistics involved. That it is, as I have always stated, important to be eloquent. Slurring of speech is unacceptable. I know you do not do this, but it is important for all people to understand that it is important to communicate crisply and clearly. Now, when communicating, you communicate as direct as possible. Analogies are a good tool to use. When you talk, it is a learning experience for other people on what you are saying. People know more about you by the way that you communicate, by the way that you manipulate your vocal cords to communicate. For example, if somebody speaks sloppily, uses a lot of expletives and slang, what does this tell us? This tells us that they are sloppy in their communication. They are probably uneducated. They probably do not grasp fully what is trying to be explained to them. It is fine to use slang when talking with your friends and associates, but on a professional level, you cannot communicate and say, you know. You have to explain why they should know. It has been brought to my attention that when you communicate with somebody explaining something, you will use occasionally slang and occasionally a phrase that I hate, you know. This should not be taken for granted that somebody knows. If they know, they will let you know. Because even if they do know and they do not interrupt, they may learn something. So, to portray yourself as an eloquent speaker tells more about you than just your physical appearance. It tells you or tells them that you are educated, you are considerate, you are intelligent. All these things are important when you communicate. It is necessary to give the air as a communicator that you know what you are talking about, that you are easy to understand, and you are intelligent. Questions?
Yes. One thing I have that goes against that last statement is that oftentimes I'll find myself affecting other people's form of communication when I'm talking to them. For example, someone using slang or expletives. I do that on purpose, generally, because it takes me to a level where they can understand me better and accept what I'm saying, what I'm teaching, instead of going thinking that I'm above that, above them in that situation.
Yes, that is acceptable to lower to yourself to their level. But what are you trying to do? You're trying to bring them up to a higher level.
Right.
You have to get them away from using the expletives and the slang. It is easier for them to be understood by other people if you do so. As a teacher, your purpose is to increase the intelligence of the people. If they're constantly using expletives and slang, then it is more difficult for people to understand them out of their peer group. The language that you speak, English, has certain protocols that are used by well-speaking individuals that everybody understands. You can understand me clearly and crisply as I communicate. Other people can understand me clearly and crisply as I communicate. Expletives have their place. Slang has its place. But when you are teaching, the thing that you're trying to do is to increase the intelligence and bring the person up to a higher level if they are of less intelligence. If they are of greater intelligence and have not learned to speak correctly, they will understand that by the way that you are communicating, that it is logical and easier to understand, so that they will start to mimic. Now, it is not a put-down when you do that. When you are dealing with somebody that uses a lot of slang and expletives, it is fine to use them yourself. A lot like they would to start off with. But as you talk and communicate with them, you decrease and decrease and decrease until you are not using any. And they will do likewise. They will mimic you. More questions?
Yes. Now, once you start doing that with that person, won't that then feed off of them into their peer group?
Correct.
And basically, it's a trickle-down effect from there.
Correct. Gradually and slowly. So, it is not one person you are communicating with.
Right. So, it's best to talk to these people as often as you can once you start the teaching process.
Correct.
To keep that teaching process going and then bring in the others that peer group into it and see the same effect take place there.
Correct.
Nice. Very understandable. Okay.
So it is a useful tool when you communicate. You have to, first of all, get their interest, communicate with them on the level that they understand, and then pull them up.
Mm-hmm.
More questions.
Okay. How do you encourage them once they get to that point to start using more educated phrases? Is it just your use of them? Sure. But won't they, they'll see themselves as being outcast from their group at that point?
No, they won't. If their friends are good friends, their friends will accept them as they are. If not, they will continue to use that form of communication with their peer group. When interacting with people outside of their peer group, they will use what they have learned.
I see. So sooner or later, their friends might start changing. Their peer group might change.
Correct.
Interesting.
Take, for example, when you first arrived here. You were hanging around with people that I believe you would call lowlives?
Party animals.
Party animals. Do you hang around with that group now? Since you have become more eloquent, or have become re-eloquent, you have found that that group of individuals is frustrating.
Yes.
Irritating. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you have grown. You have moved to a new peer group. You still interact with some of that other peer group. And they have changed also.
So this is also feeds over into the internet, where I'm using the web page in the same manner.
Correct.
Okay, so a grade point average on the eloquence of the web page?
Possible.
Thank you. From you, that's a compliment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Russ, I don't need to go over the last two speakers. I think they are quite eloquent and precise to the point, and they know what they're doing anyway.
Yes, it'd be redundant.
Yes, it would be. I cannot add anything, as they have covered all the bases. Do you have any questions for me?
I have one for Corton I was going to ask, but it was off the subject, so I didn't bother. But I'll check with you real quick and just get a real quick feed off of you. I know that the, as we call it, the Arcturian Council or conference is being discussed again.
Yes.
I kind of want to get an idea of, you know, what your guys' opinion on this.
My opinion is that it is a good thing. We are off to a council meeting, and that is one of the things that is on our agenda tonight. I do not foresee a vote tonight. But the council and the representatives here for the council meeting will be discussing it. We will vote at a later time, more than likely, on whether or not it should be submitted for a vote by a higher council.
Well, certainly what the Corton said does apply a lot in that situation.
Right.
Eloquence will be a key point in this, in making sure everyone's, or at least us, are speaking from a point of view that's quite understandable.
Correct. Okay, I will hand back to our resident ring mistress.
Okay.
They're giving me a real workout.
That was interesting. It was almost as if Corton had talked to Ashtar, and Ashtar had figured out what my shields were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because Corton came and tested a completely different point of view.
But they probably did.
They probably did.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to switch frequencies on my shields to try to keep Corton out.
Mm-hmm.
What a workout.
You think you're getting a workout? I feel like a puppet sometimes when those two are around. It's up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Okay, wouldn't it? I could do with the exercise. Okay, now, quickly, let me see. I cut into my time on my dissertation. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, the incident the other night with the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it was a correction, as the stock market analysts would call it.
Yes, and if you remember, I did say that there would be corrections.
Right. You know, it was the biggest drop since 1978 or 87?
87.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, and then the other question is about what I was asking Mark last night about setting up for the guest book group for the channeling session.
Oh, yes. I'm on my software discussing that earlier on.
Seems to me it'll save a lot of time. You can pick these people already know you, know what, if you're going to have a topic, what the topic's going to be about.
Okay, next week's topic will be handled by Kiri. and it will be on fifth dimensionalism and sixth dimensionalism. Or it should be dispelling the myth of fifth dimensional ascension.
All right, and I'll go ahead and talk to Kiri about that.
But it will be handled, Kiri will be handling it.
So I set some ground rules down when I sent out this thing, but I want to get ground rules set up by you two beforehand.
Okay.
So that, you know, we can use the same ground rules whenever you're channeling or whenever she's channeling. Everybody knows them already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you need to work on her with that at some point between speakers here.
Okay. We will go over it. I will hand you over to... Let me see. Yeah, I can hand you over to the next speaker. The tape's getting close to being ready to be flipped. You want to check?
Sure, we should have a question.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't want to cut into...
We can talk a little bit then if you want.
Okay. Let us say, ground rules. No questions of a personal nature concerning the speakers. Yeah, explain about yourself. Who are you? Etc.
Wait a minute. You mean as if the people asking questions don't want to ask questions about their personal lives? Like, what were my past lives like or something?
Yeah, something like that.
But not about you. Personal questions about them.
Well, about, for example, who are you? Meaning me. Explain about yourself. We don't have time for that.
Well, I'll tell them to just check the bios.
Yeah, just check the bios. No technical data. These are just things that we can work with and fiddle around. No predictions. Stick to the topic as much as possible. Limited time of an hour and a half maximum. Because it seems to take more of a strain on the host or Mark on his body when he's typing like that almost incessantly.
You could do it weekly. It's not going to be such a burnout.
Right,
set it up for an hour.
Okay, set it up for an hour.
It goes more an hour, that's your fault.
Yeah. I have a grand rules. Be patient with the answers. They may take some time to come due to the fact that it has to come through a relay of the host body. And as fast as we can manipulate the fingers, as fast as we can go. That's a good one. Talking amongst yourselves is acceptable as long as it follows the topic being discussed. Side issues will be addressed at a later time. Questions should be in form of a question, not in a dissertation or in a paragraph. Try to keep them as precise as possible. That's not good enough. Don't you agree with that?
I've never really seen anything like that coming your way.
Yeah. But there has been in the past. That you have to read a lot of background information before you get to the question. I try, I don't know how Kiri does it, to explain as best as I can through either using analogies or by answering the question as best as I can. Joking in humour is acceptable, but don't push it too far. Because sometimes it is necessary to take a heavy subject and throw in a slippery surface, banana skin. Okay. Any more questions? Okay, we covered most of the protocol and rules.
Yeah, we got enough there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that should... You Carol, can brush that up and tidy it up. But it's just preliminary ideas.
Yeah, I don't want to throw too much at them.
No.
turn them off from coming in the whole place in the first place.
Correct. Set up communicators as a retreat for private discussions as well for people on the guest list if they want to go somewhere private to talk. But tell them not to change the topic because other guests into the room may want to be able to go, last week they discussed morals. And so on. You know what I mean? So, all the people on the guest list should have the password. Go through the guest list with Mark, send him a copy so that he knows who is on there. Because there are some people that may not be.
We don't have anybody he knows on there.
Ah, okay.
There are people who written to me, but don't actually go access through the
Spirit chat.
Right? A majority don't.
Ah, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, Seabreeze was a new one last night.
Yeah, she came to guest list. Not that I know of it.
No. And Starcat, met Starcat before. I like her name.
Well, I better tell them to have a handle ready, too. Because a lot of these people don't go into that chat room.
Yeah, true. Okay. Tape's going to be ready in a few seconds or a minute or so.
Okay.
No. I am doing well. Okay. Healer's dissipation time.
Let's wait on your dissertation time.
Okay.
Let's just talk among ourselves here.
Okay.
Vocally.
And Asha is correct. That you can trust me implicitly.
I wouldn't bother even, having shield.
Mm-hmm. But he's very correct. Unintentionally, I could give out that information.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't see it, I guess I can't see every possibility that they're out there.
Well, Ashton tries to see as many possibilities as possible.
It's more than both of us could ever do.
I think we could think of 100 possibilities and get stumped, and he would come up with 101st, 102nd, 103rd, and so on.
Yeah.
But,
it's nice having it once in a while with
this. Yes. I would prefer not to know. As much as I love you, I don't want that responsibility.
I'll catch it at like 4 in the morning. I'll figure it out when you sleep.
Well, you know how to lock me out of your mind.
I try not to. So anyway, I don't keep you up at night when I'm working on stuff, do I?
Any more questions?
No, just that one, darling.
Can't answer that one.
Yeah, it's not like no, I'm keeping you doing something like sleeping or something.
Sleeping is not important. I don't need sleep.
Well, I guess that's both.